everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Data Protection Made Easy podcast. This is season 2, episode 19, where we have another GDPR radio session where I'm joined, as always, by our host, Katerina Santos. How are we doing, Kate? Hey, where have you gone?
Oh, I'm all right. How are you doing? Hello?
Kate, what happened?
I'm here. I'm talking with you.
It took you like 15 seconds. Did you respond to me right away? Or am I tripping?
I did.
Did she respond to me right away? Did you hear that?
I didn't hear.
Okay. It might have been a bit of like a lag on your end.
Okay. But,
okay, let's try again. What the hell?
Go.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Data Protection Made Easy podcast. This is season 2, episode 19, where we have another GDPR radio session. I'm joined, as always, by our host, Katerina Santos. How are we doing, Kate?
Hello, I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm very, very well, thank you. We had another great session over in you're in sunny Portugal, I'm in sunny Leeds, I guess, talking all about data protection news. How did you find the session?
I prefer the sunny Portugal to Leeds. Well, take care.
You and me both.
It was a really good session. We did spoke a lot about AI. There are definitely things going on back with the Meta glasses and as well with incognito chat for WhatsApp. So definitely Meta is being a trend topic right now. Mm. We spoke so much about transparency, delimitation and storage and in these devices, invisible processing. And I do enjoy a lot of these conversations. What about you?
Yeah, it was an interesting session. Again, as you rightly say, Meta was a little bit of a hot topic. We also got to speak on a little bit of a gossip, weirdly enough, a little bit of data protection gossip, strangely, in relation to John Edwards, the information commissioner, and some emails that had been released in an FOI request that had disclosed some information in relation to his currently from the ICO and what that means to him. So, you know, a really interesting session where we talk about loads of different bits and bobs. So we won't give too much away and we'll let you jump right into the session. We hope you enjoy.
Thank you. Bye.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Data Protection Made Easy podcast. Got another GDPR radio session today, which is, of course, very exciting. Always tends to be my favorite sessions when we get to talk about the news to some extent. I do love some of our topical sessions as well. Again, guys, before we do start, as you guys know, in terms of recording these, we do record them. One of my lovely folks behind the camera will be putting the privacy notice up. And then in terms of the AI chatbots, as always, we'll be going through and removing those where we can. So if there is any way that you can turn them off before, and that would be grand because it saves our folks a bit of a job. But on that note, Kate, how has your week been?
when I'm leaving the office, because I feel that I'm losing control of everything. I don't know why, but at the same time, it's good because, you know, all those massive lists that I have, like from 2 months ago, of things I need to do. So this is being the time for me actually to do those things.
Yeah.
Yes. So now I'm putting together finally the whole things that I said 2 months ago that I'm going to do. So I'm doing it, which is really nice. But yeah, to be honest, kind of quite relaxing.
Relaxed,
what about
is it?
You? We're talking about obviously the event from yesterday. I heard it was a success.
Yeah, I would say a success. Maybe if other people are here and they're actually at the event, I'd like to hope that they'd echo those thoughts. Carl, I know you was there, so hopefully you can speak quite fondly of it. But yeah, no, we had our Doer event yesterday in Manchester. Me and Mark and Benga leading some of the conversations there. And I just want to say, if there are any of you folks who were at the event and we managed to, you know, catch up, are you just there listening? Thank you so much for coming, and thank you so much for coming over and saying hello as well. It's always so nice to see the members of the community, especially people who aren't just customers, but podcast listeners as well. And, you know, get to kind of get your understanding of DPP sort of over the years, especially with the podcast and these events, which are obviously quite new. So it's always great to get your supports and speak to you guys. You know, it's always my favorite thing about these events is to get the opportunity to spend some time with some of the folks who have to listen to me drone on probably a little bit more than they'd like to, because I'm always buzzing around these things. But
you are too humble.
But no, it was lovely to see you all at the. But yeah, if you were here and you were at the event, do feel free to say hi in the chat. I know I was trying to get people to turn up and say hi in the chat. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But it was lovely to see you all the same. And hopefully we'll do plenty more of these. And hopefully we can continue to see you there. That would be absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a shame that I couldn't go. But I'm sure that it was a very nice session because we had very good feedback. Thank you for all of you that spent like a couple of minutes to actually send emails and give the feedback is really important for us. And I'm just wondering actually if there are any questions that were around. I'm assuming there were loads.
Yeah.
But any questions that kind of a trend ones where you spoke with some people and they felt like, okay, this is something definitely a challenge for us and a complicated matter.
It was largely the stuff I expected, really. The conversations that we were having were conversations that, you know, I largely would have expected in relation to things like going over some of the complaints elements, especially the elements in relation to some of the more practicalities with the elements of the soft opt-in and the direct marketing stuff as well.
You are with short memory now.
Yeah, I was thinking, what did we talk about? But no, I thought it was a great session, and I think everybody got to add different little bits and bobs as well, which I think made it all the more valuable, getting all these different insights and stuff, and got some great insights from the people and who actually came and attended as well, which is always so much more beneficial as well.
Yeah.
There's like one little thing that I wanted to mention that a listener and I was actually talking about, and it brought me on something that an idea that I had a while ago that we don't do, but I would like to do. Obviously, of course, this is a community already in terms of what we have in terms of the podcast, but we would be quite keen to almost open that up a little bit and have an opportunity to basically be able to host some of these more conversations on things like LinkedIn. So we kind of ummed and ahed, and me and Miles have been talking about on the journey home and such, about having a community on LinkedIn where individuals, obviously from the listeners, or maybe people who don't even listen to the podcast but are interested, can come on and you can kind of pass questions around together. If you guys are having similar concerns, then you know, it's an opportunity for you guys to have that sort of network. Obviously, it would be sort of run and kind of moderated by us. And we would jump in every now and then, you know, to kind of provide some insights here or there. But if it is something that you are interested in, just let me know. What I'll do for ease, to avoid if loads of people are going to bob like messages, and I'll put a message in.
Create a poll or something like that.
If you are interested, you know, just give it a like or say yes or something, and then if there's enough interest for it, then it's definitely something we can set up. You know, the intention of the podcast really is a community for you guys, and same with the events. We want to give people an opportunity to be able to network with people with similar issues, and you know, hopefully then we can kind of come in when we need to and kind of help sort of steer you all towards those directions and make that transition easy for you guys, especially if you're newer to the role or you're just in a sector where you're full of loads of challenges. You know, we're so lucky and grateful to have so many great practitioners in the community and stuff. So it would be a great opportunity for that. So if it is something you're interested in, I think Kate's bobbing something up now.
Yeah.
And then if we get enough people, then we can sort something out. And hopefully that will be all well and good and appreciated, hopefully, from you guys. And, you know, it's something that I think we would all enjoy on our end as well.
Yeah, I think it's actually a very good idea. So I'm quite surprised for you guys. No, I'm joking. No, I think it's a great idea. I think it's very useful as well for us to be able to share those, because we are part of some communities, obviously, on a separate note, and it's always very useful to see any other practices, to see more like articles and some topics, etc. So I think bring all that together will be really nice. Link.
And you can also give me and Kate ideas for the podcast if you want. If you want to make our lives even easier as well, I wouldn't go.
Yes. No. All right.
Is that you doing?
Yes, I'm creating a note. Yes, and I like for me to give you the word before I write something that I don't want to. I saw that you put it some together about the messages that John and I just put it together. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think I do. I don't know if anybody had seen on LinkedIn this week, Tim Turner's post in relation to a FOIA request that was received to the ICO in relation to what was received in relation to John Edwards and his stepping away from the ICO and what that means. I don't know if anyone's had a little chance to look at the comms. What I will do, because they did disclose some emails between these conversations, which I thought was a really interesting stance. You know, not something I disagree with. I appreciate the transparency, if anything. But
yeah,
if you look at the comments from Tim Turner's post, I'm sure all you will know who Tim Turner is to some respect. There's a lot of, I don't know, it feels a bit like gossipy, doesn't it? I quite like it. Yeah, I was having a lovely.
It was like, oh my god, this is actually something going on within our community.
Mm. Loads of interesting stuff.
And even the comments as well. Did you see them? The comments in the post.
I read some of the comments. I think the main kind of takeaways from me, it was a really interesting message from John Edwards. You know, seemingly implying that his stepping away isn't going to impact the actual operations and running of the ICO in any respect is very, very strange. I don't know if that's because of a reflection of them moving to the Information Commissioner as opposed to the ICO. But it's a really weird thing to say, isn't it? Because, you know, you'd like to hope that you are pretty integral and you're pretty important. And if you're not, then what's going on? Also, I'd like to understand what his situation is in terms of sick leave and annual leave, if he just gets paid regardless.
And he's being paid.
That doesn't sound like a half bad situation, does it, really?
I thought it was quite interesting. And alongside with those, obviously, I think it was quite nice to see, because it was the ICO is the one, like, obviously enforcing the UK GDPR, promotes accountability, promotes transparency, but then obviously these emails came out, obviously under the FOIA request, and we're talking about here like some sort of kind of employment and potential HR and I would say even confidential information around these emails. I understand obviously there are things that are redacted, but I thought this was quite amusing to be seen, and I'm really surprised that this came out.
They left a lot in. And I was like, okay, I understand, like, I think you're trying to be as transparent as possible in this case.
Yeah.
But there's a lot
I think it's quite ironic. It's like, in the one side, we have like, okay, thank you so much for transparency. Now we know exactly what that John Edwards means. On the other side, we have someone that is obviously part of the regulator that promotes all this, the UK GDPR and the reductions and this and that. And this is the result. I thought it was quite ironic.
No, really, really weird. I mean, there's not loads and loads to say about it, but I did see it. I was like, how strange.
But
if you haven't seen the post, go look at Tim's post, because some of the comments on there are really quite funny. And I was enjoying giving it a little bit of a read this morning when I sat down over there.
I think all Tim Turner's posts, I don't know why he's a tone, I think, but it's just funny on his own.
Yeah, I do enjoy reading his posts. I'm sure everybody does, which is why he's got such a large community in what he has with like DPO Daily and stuff like that. which I actually didn't know was him for quite a while, to be honest with you. I only found out the other day that was him. I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah.
Because I still have to trend on the tone.
Well, that's what made me pick up on it. But I'm not on LinkedIn loads and loads unless I'm trying to promote DPP or myself sometimes. But yeah, no, it was interesting. So yeah, I do implore you guys to have a little bit of a look. I mean, in terms of some other news, there's a an interesting point, maybe a little bit of an older point, because I know it's something that's been consistently discussed, but I feel like there's a almost resurgence of relevance here, isn't there, in relation to the smart glasses, the Meta Ray-Bans.
We are back. Yes.
Yeah, back again. It just reared its ugly head back up, hasn't it?
Yeah, so. I mean, this is. I think this is coming back because the new glasses from Meta and with ribbon, and they are very, very, very discreet. So I do believe that the Samsung glasses are smart ones. They actually, you could see, I mean, I know that they are glasses, but you could see something is different. You could see like something popping up, like some light, some sort. Obviously, you need to look very into that person to actually realize that is going on. But you could see with these ones now, and I'm sharing with you a picture, obviously, that is in a BBC article. That's why I'm sharing this guy's picture, Mark Smith's picture. But
it's a lovely picture.
It's a lovely picture. But you could see how discreet they are. They don't seem to have any sort of AI features with it. If you look closely, you can see the camera very near to the brand itself, but he's very, very discreet.
He's just
wearing them like to being seen. But I was actually going to what does that mean and looks like right now with them being recorded, and it's exactly the same. So like as I was saying, there were a couple of them ones, and actually their first version, they had like a light, like a red one or like a blue one, but now
there's no light. Nothing happens. Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah.
And concerning.
I agree.
The reason it was so concerning, I was reading this blog and I was like, I suppose there's two reasons. There seems to be a wave, seemingly from this blog. It wasn't something I was maybe slightly aware of, but I didn't know if it was just like a one-off instance of women mainly being approached in the street by these like pickup artists kind of thing. And, you know, they're trying to pick up women and basically recording them without their knowledge and consent. And in one case, of course, these things are going on stuff like social media. And I believe in one case, once a woman did find out, asked to take it down, and apparently that is as a paid service that this so-called influencer provides, which is just a clear ignorance in relation to their rights. I mean, granted, maybe some of these things were in relation to the US, probably mainly. I think that's why you probably see most of the idiots, quite frankly. Who were doing stuff like this on the street, because I think there's seemingly by the article some of the quite frankly the unwanted attention and the kind of harassment of some of these women online from these posts is absolutely horrible. But it's coming from, you know, maybe it would be a little bit of a different scenario if they could see who was recording and they can then make that decision to get as far away from them as they can, you know.
To be honest with you, I think it's quite disturbing thinking about it. Thinking about that we are going to the park, imagine like families, like moms and with their children. And they have people sit down with the glasses, recording the children, recording the women, probably now in the summer with skirts and dresses. And that's disturbing thinking that exists. But at the same time, to be honest with you, and I don't want to be cynical, but those things already happened in the past with our phones and other things.
Sure.
This is just making this, obviously, the danger massive and bigger. And obviously, the way to do it is just easier. Because with my phone, I just need to do this. And you can see that
obvious,
I'm recording you.
Yeah.
Now, we're just more discreet. But at the same time, it is a kind of a odd one, isn't it? Because...
Mm.
Is it, will the people in general speaking, will they actually use information? Because they probably are recording just a video, generally speaking, not those unfortunate cases. But like you want to record a video, you do it. It's true that the videos will stay on the devices.
Mm.
Nobody probably will see it. But unless you upload it on someone and then you go into the storage and then they need to be reviewed by the human intervention on their side.
You make a great point in terms of no one can see it. However, I then did see as I continued to read that allegedly, as part of what this article is saying, individuals who had taken images of and taken videos of them with these glasses in these instances for explicit things, I'd probably say, actually get reviewed by internal teams for training purposes, unbeknownst to the individuals who have taken these videos. Now, Meta claimed it's in the terms and services somewhere, which I'm sure it is, but it's probably so, you know, wielded in there as, you know, probably a little small print that they're operating on, where it's very, very unlikely that an individual is going to be aware of that and would reasonably expect that in any kind of way. And if that is something that is happening, then they absolutely need to be aware of it in the most explicit kind of way, because this is very, very harmful, potentially content and very embarrassing content to them if they know that other people are viewing it. But it apparently has been something that individuals have been tasked for in terms of internally reviewing for training purposes, and then they've had to come across these videos on both ends. Again, there's one side where the individual's absolutely no idea, like, because they wouldn't, being recorded. Realistically, they wouldn't expect that, would they? And even if you've taken a recording and the recording is fine, you're happy with it, even knowing that someone can then still see that and they're still, you know, potentially monitoring it to an aspect is super concerning, isn't it?
I agree. And to be honest, I think he's a weird one, because, and now I will then try to link with another news that we saw about the WhatsApp, but he's a weird one because you have in one end, you know, that AI kind of technologies here exists, and then supposedly probably the human intervention in the reviewing is actually something to make you feel safer, because you know that potentially someone will be reviewing it and, well, thinking about the good in people, and everyone would be reviewed and any bad things will be removed, etc., etc. But on the other hand, you not even know that will exist, and then everything can be used for training purposes, everything right now. And these technologies and all these devices are being fed and fed and fed constantly by these training situations, and you are like the main audience for that, and just is scary. It's just scary, and there is no management expectations whatsoever, which I think is the worst. I think is the worst bit on these things, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like not enough has been done to be transparent, and I think there's a little bit of a fob off sometimes from bigger companies to say, well, you know, we said it in the terms of services, but transparency in that regard is, it's not that simple, it's not that straight shooting. Transparency is an open effort, it's not, you know, it's there somewhere, that is not clear, and I know it's not the word in the UK GDPR, it's the word in the PECA, but I think clear and comprehensible is still something that we should take into account when we're looking at transparency information, like it would be referenced within the law. And I think that also makes the denominator of it where it has to be as easily attainable and understandable as possible, especially the higher the risk, the higher the potential that they don't going to know. And there is going to be invisible processing that garners more of a risk. They have to do even more to be more transparent. I mean, if you kind of wheel it back to things like events and taking photos at events. Again, is that reasonably expected? To an extent, yes, but they will go that extra step and that extra mile, or they should, to try and inform them of that as much as possible, to have signage around as much as possible, to make sure that there's no misinterpretation or misunderstanding of what is occurring, and there's no lack of transparency there. They're going above and beyond, and I think you need to in a lot of cases. Especially with things like this, and I know you've referencing the WhatsApp stuff as well, which is a little bit of a link. So I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Yeah. I think with this, to be honest, I think it is equally disturbing from one perspective. So Meta, again, has announced the Cognito chat for WhatsApp and Meta AI. So what they said, and I had a chance to actually, instead of reading the article, I went directly to the WhatsApp like website and see exactly what does that mean, and understanding a little bit deeper what that requires. So they are saying that the conversations will be super private. Meta will not be able to read any chats. Messages will not be retained by default. Chats will be processed in a very secure environment, and I'm quoting here, and users can ask sensitive questions without their conversations being visible to Meta. So things, something in terms of my first reaction to this, I think is a completely trying to shift the reality, because in the beginning, and we are talking, for example, ChatGPT, like just using it as an example, our first automatic reaction is do not upload any information in there, particularly any confidential information into chatbots. Now, what Meta is trying to do is completely changing the shift and saying, actually, we want you to feel comfortable in putting any sort of information in, because it will be deleted after 24 hours and is completely confidential. But I think a couple of things, and obviously I'll put now the question to you to hear your thoughts, but a couple of thoughts that I had is, how do actually we know that this will work? That's my always question, is like, how do I know that this actually works? And we are now trying for years, and we know about AI. Organizations on their own, they are trying for you to actually put trust in the design goal AI tools and mechanisms and devices. We are trying to always to understand where information are going and in what extent. And to be honest, I think we still don't have a clear answer. And now they are trying to, instead of giving you a bit more of information, they are trying to say, you know what, we just don't have access to it. There is no continuation. But then on the other side, I thought, based obviously on these unfortunate recent cases about its children and people that actually relied a lot in AI, obviously in these chat bots, where they asked for opinions, they asked for advice, they actually created secret relationship with these chatbots. Mm-hmm. And if we are talking about some sort of tool that you actually can input some information in there, that information will be fed to it, everything will be generated in your mind and these things still happen, but in the end of the day, everything is deleted. That means for me that there is no accountability. That means to me that if there is anything going on now and you want to go to court, imagine, and obviously some sort of evidence will be requested and some thoughts will be asked. Where is our evidence? Where is our accountability?
It's a fair point. And I think maybe it gets a little bit, I don't know, I think sometimes there's a little bit of a knee sort of reflex with some of these AI tools where it's like, oh, well, there's no risk if the implication is that we just get rid of everything. And we do that as quickly and, you know, efficiently as we can, then the risk is mitigated in that effect. But you're right. I mean, WhatsApp, for all intents and purposes, is social media, I guess you would call it, right? In some respects, and that means it's likely to be accessed by children in some regard. 13 and upwards probably. So we've got to be able to identify safeguarding concerns. Presumably there has to be measures in place where we're able to identify those from that perspective. And it seems like something has probably gone amiss in respect of obviously. You know, and WhatsApp in particular, very big with like, you know, we've got this end-to-end encryption, we have this, we have that to make sure that no one's seeing this and no one's seeing that. But to what extent is that true? And if to that extent it is true, is that in itself troubling in reflection of AI? I'm not sure. And then you've got the other flip side, I think, that maybe is, it hasn't been thought about, but WhatsApp has also broadly been used by a lot of businesses as well at this point in time. And it's still something that's being used. And I appreciate that WhatsApp in itself as a business communication tool comes with its own risks. This is just another thing to add to the pile, I think, but does could and may present a significant risk to some of the data. If you were then moving stuff away from that and discussing business means on business devices that are then stored and operated by the business, again, does that come with other risks? So we're going to have to now go back and adapt DPIAs and adapt processes and procedures in light of that. Yeah, very likely so, because there is a potential for, especially in a business aspect, a little bit of a creep here in relation to its intended use. Potentially. Again, it's hard to say, but I do think it is likely.
I think, you know, for me, the because I came up with this with the LinkedIn post, and then I was just reading, and for me, it's just based on all these scenarios that happened in the past, and very well, the passing very recently, AI giving harmful advice to individuals. It was harmful in that actually caused death. And now we are saying, okay, it's absolutely fine for you to upload this information because actually it's private. No one will have access to this. It's absolutely fine. And you're absolutely right. How can we then make actually the difference between what is an individual with vulnerabilities and disabilities and children, or it's just an individual on his own? And it's very hard. And for me, it's just... I just came actually with this. Not sure if that makes sense. I hope it does, but in my mind it does. So I guess it's something. I'm thinking about this as a CCTV. So why, if we are recording as an organization, we use CCTV footage, right? Mm-hmm. And why does the organization, because they don't need it for that specific day, why they don't delete it immediately? Because we know that potentially something can come from it, an incident, a report, a complaint, something that in future for obviously like within a specific time, 30 days normally, can actually happen. And therefore, we do have some sort of period to give that ability for people to come to us and request that. And I'm thinking in terms of the same rationale. I appreciate the where this is coming from, but I would appreciate the same rationale in a way because these things can happen. These things can, an incident, some sort of, even in the business perspective, I think, like with chatbots, how do we know? We don't know. And it makes me uncomfortable thinking about this incognito, about the lack of completely accountability if anything happens, because we are taking away from it. And yeah, not sure if I do like it.
yeah, it's a bit uncomfy, isn't it? I feel that kind of way, maybe in particular in relation to retention, where people just take the mindset, not even necessarily because I'm worried about any sort of external risk other than that to the business, but taking the mindset, we're just going to get rid of everything as quickly as we get it is, you know, potentially harmful to other people depending on, the, you know, in relation to the sector you're working, but could be really harmful and impactful to your business as well. The storage limitation principle isn't there to scare people. And I think to an extent, maybe sometimes it can do that. I've seen that people do get a little bit stressed in relation to retention. And it's a very common stress, and I completely understand why. But to then, you know, doesn't mean that you have to take the mindset. We have to get rid of subs straight away. An employee's left, we have to get rid of all their data. It's like, well, you don't, because the limitations act as otherwise, realistically.
Absolutely.
If an employment tribunal comes knocking and then you then don't have that evidence, that and then you're going to be like, oh, well, GDPR said we had to get rid of it. Well, it doesn't.
Actually, we do.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't.
It doesn't. But it's still a scary position to be in to, oh, are we holding this for too long? Are we holding this for... And, you know, I appreciate that can be a difficult conversation to think about, and you could kind of tie yourself up in knots with those kind of conversations. But I do think at the end of the day, the law and the UK GDPR in particular exists to not to restrict in that regard. It is trying to help you as best as it can. So
absolutely.
So taking this approach, I'm not really super keen on, but be interested to see what we hear a little bit more about that. You mentioned another piece of news in our old notes over here, Kate, that I'm absolutely sure you probably want to talk about in relation to the UK's visa portal.
Absolutely, because I panicked when I saw this.
Yeah, I bet you did.
My God, this is me here. So it was because my thought it was linked to the UK government, but gladly it was not. So a private website that is called UK Visa Portal, which is definitely not connected with the UK government, I double checked, is real. So allegedly exposed around 100,000 uploaded documents, including passports, selfie photographs, and any visa application information, that for the ones that are lucky enough never needed to submit any visa application is a lot of information, as you can imagine. So according to the report, I'll share with you a link in a second, users may have mistakenly believed that they were actually using an official government service, and uploaded without any due diligence all this entity information, whole documents as part of the visa application process. So the most the aspect, aside from obviously this happening, for me, was the fact that this report allegedly says that the company disclosed that the issue remained unsolved, and there appears to be a no clear process for reporting security vulnerabilities. So in other words, still nothing was done. There was no reporting. There are no information about the investigation or some details about it. So, wow. For me, it was wow. I think this is definitely a call for help. I thought the bigger question is, I would say that what happened after the company obviously was told that this happened? Obviously, for our expectations is automatically investigate immediately, understanding what happened, contain the issues, engage with any IT and technical teams, try to understand what was the impact and communicate this appropriately, because it was definitely should be notified with the individuals. Mm-hmm. But the article actually suggests that none of this happened.
Yes,
and we are talking about very high risk. Yeah. Yes.
Which does present a concern, doesn't it? Because it is a third party that has evidently identified this leak, hasn't it? And I know they're kind of weirdly enough in vain trying to speak to someone responsible, and they're not able to get to someone to basically inform them that this breach has occurred. You know, who knows how long this breach has occurred for? You know, there's a possibility that it could impact hundreds and not hundreds of thousands. I don't actually know the stats, I suppose, but at least thousands, you'd think.
Absolutely. Like. I mean, and you're talking about very high-risk personal data and in a very sensitive matter, because we actually need to submit all this information as a requirement to actually make our visa application available to the UK government. So it's something that is not even our choice to do it. And people are required to process all this information. The passport contains full name, nationalities, date of birth, the passport number, photographs, your signature, all this combined with your selfie, like a photograph on your selfie, is your whole identity available on this portal, and making this available disclosed, and then on the other hand, not even have the automatic response to try to contain, to investigate, to make this information available to individuals, and then therefore trying to make them, okay, rest assured, we are taking care of them, don't worry, is really disturbing. And this was, again, as you mentioned, available from a third party, which means that question number one, if there was not made known from this third party, would it come up? Not sure.
We don't even know if they're doing anything as of right now, and that's the concern. Presumably, this third party, I can't remember the name. I think it's like TechCrunch.
I think it's TechCrunch. I'm trying to find it.
Presumably, they might have gone to the ICO already. I really hope so.
Here we go.
But yeah, as far as we're aware, no one's been notified. Nothing's been done. We don't know how long this leak has been in place. And we know that the third party is still yet to maintain any contact with the portal. So, you know, it's really strange stuff. In a situation like this, I'd like to think that now that they've found out, and people trying to get them to find out, they need to take very, very fast and immediate action, because it's already in the eyes of the news now in respect to the space. Yeah. There'll be also a lot of eyes on them in terms of how they respond to it, especially now. So, with, you know, things like images, you know, maybe a while ago they wouldn't have incurred as much of a risk as they do now. With things like deepfakes and AI, I think images have become some of the more risky personal data that may be out there in some cases, pending. Of course, you kind of got to, it's kind of relying on whose hands it falls into.
Yeah, but these selfies as well, you know, it's not just a picture that, for example, is available in my Instagram. It's actually a three-way selfies that we need to take on the front and then our side and then our side. So we will actually capture the whole face,
yeah, it's like
all
a full
the
scan, isn't it?
little things. And then and to be honest, I did not see this report, but if everything was disclosed, I'm assuming that this bit will be as well. You need to say some words to that the app itself will tell you at the moment live.
Voice
just
as
make
well.
Sure that just to make sure that just make sure that obviously you are not AI or some other person or whatever.
Did I also see something in relation to this data being not sold, but it was in the hands of another party as well, like due to the leak. Let's see if I can find it.
Let's see in the news. To be honest, I don't recall to see that, but that makes no surprise to me. But it makes it even worse.
Yeah, so 100,000 uploaded documents it was. So I was right in respect of the thousands. Oh, yeah. Apparently, it's also saying that users have mistakenly paid a fee to this company instead of accessing it through the official websites. It seems like they're a little bit of a, you know, shaky company anyway in relation to that, and could be a little bit dodgy.
The submission itself is not cheap, so I'm assuming that people, bless them, they are just they just want to have it sorted, you know, and all these websites exist, and unfortunately they are with malicious intention, so please be careful, not just with the visas but with anything else. Unfortunately, there are no, how we say it very, very often here in Portugal, there are no free lunches. If it's free, it's wrong, right. I promise. No.
Well, our free lunch to the people at the Doer event yesterday, there are no strings attached to that lunch, I assure you. Apart from maybe having to sit down and talk to some of the members of our sales team, potentially. Appreciative of the time. I know it's a little bit of a lighter session today, which I imagine is because of the school holidays, if I had to hazard a guess. I was all like, fantastic. but I do say, oh, thank you, Emma.
That's really kind. Thank you very much.
But yeah, on that note, I think I can see enough responses in the poll that Kate has bobbed up.
Right.
Warrant us from throwing together a little community on LinkedIn or Teams or something like that. I would probably have to look at the benefits of either or and decide from there. But again, we'll float the suggestion to all the listeners and we'll open that community up hopefully at some point, all being well. But yeah, so I suppose on that note, we hope that you all have lovely weekends. And we'll catch you on the next one, where I think it's episode 250.
Yes.
So a little bit of a milestone for us, which we're, you know, pretty happy about. 250 episodes is a real massive portion. I mean, granted, we've not been here for the whole 250. But yeah, Carl, you're right. Maybe we'll get some cake out or something. That's not a bad idea. But do keep tuned in terms of our LinkedIn, because we do have a very interesting session next week. And I think it's one that everybody will want to tune into, because we have a special guest, so it's going to be very exciting.
It will be very good. I promise we will be worth it. So please join us. But have a good weekend, everyone. Thank you so much. Good
take care, guys.